Good morning. I'm Sherry from A Quilting Life.
And I'm Chelsea from Chelsea Stratton Designs.
And we are here for podcast episode 10.
It's number 10.
Yeah, it's fun that it's our 10th episode. This is airing on Monday, September 21st.
Yeah.
2020.
Yeah. So just again, a couple days before.
Right. We're taping on Saturday.
So. Yeah. It's the easiest day of the week to get together these days.
Yes.
Okay. So today's quilt on the wall is one of my new patterns. It's called Botanical Garden. It's layer cake friendly. And mom pieced it for me because I have been very busy with other projects and homeschooling and such. But this one is a lot of fun. And I think it went together really quickly.
Quickly. Yeah.
Yeah. So this you'll be able to find, we'll link it in the show notes and you'll be able to find it in my Etsy shop. So this one I really, really love and mom gets to keep, so I don't get to take this one home. She pieced it for me. So also the quilt on the table is called Origami and it's fat quarter friendly. It's a bigger block quilt, which sometimes I really need. I love that change of pace. And so I really, really love this one as well. You'll be able to find that in the show notes as well. So, and also I have already shown the one on the ladder, Land I Love. It's my row quilt. But I just wanted to have it in here today as well. So those are some patterns today that you can find if you're looking for something to sew.
Yeah, they're great.
Yep. And they're in our new Happy Days collection. So yeah.
Fun. Okay. I have the new find an old favorite and the first one is kind of an old favorite is, and I'm sure many of you out there have made the Yellow Brick Road quilt from, I think it was back in the late 90s or I don't know. I know I made half a dozen or more. And I realized a few months ago that there was a new pattern from the same designer, Terry Atkinson, called Mini Brick Road.
Wow.
So, of course, I was intrigued. And it's a pattern for a table runner and placemats and a doll quilt. And,
oh.
And so I made two. I made with All Hallows Eve by Joanna Figueroa, a
so
table runner.
Cute.
And
oh, wow.
I made this one. It's too late for 4th of July this year, but I got it bound yesterday for next year.
Oh my goodness.
So, and it's just, it's a charm pack pattern and you just cut it up all different ways and put it back together. And
I have to go buy this pattern now.
Such a fun little pattern. So, yeah, if you're looking for something quick, I recommend a table runner. And one thing about the All Hallows Eve, I want to make a bigger quilt. And so this was great because I kind of got used to playing with the fabrics.
Yeah.
On a table runner. So
I feel like smaller projects are so much more satisfying because you can just finish them up in essentially a day. So
yeah,
I love that. And I might want to take this one home. She won't let me, guys.
It's going on the dining table right after we're done. And shout out to my friend Gail who quilted them for me in a day and got them back to me.
So. Yeah. Love her. I miss her.
Yeah. So, and another new find. I'll just pick it up really quick. I have it on the ground. I'll pick it up.
I might need this one. I saw this.
This is great. It's called the Sew Pad. And this was sent to me for free by the husband and wife who are selling these. So I didn't purchase it. They sent it to me. They said, try it out. Let us know what you think. And I put it on my sewing chair. And it really is comfortable. It's medical grade material. And I really feel like I have better posture when I'm sitting on this.
Okay.
And so it's been really nice. I've had it for about 2 weeks now.
Yeah. And you really like it.
And I've really enjoyed it. So
I might have to check it out because currently I'm using two pillows.
Oh yeah. No, this is great.
On. Cause I don't have any padding. Mine is like an old wooden chair from a dining table.
Right.
And it can get uncomfortable when you're sewing for quite a while. And
yeah,
so yeah, maybe I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. And my chair is, in fact, I've had people ask about my chair and I have to tell them it was my husband's grandmother's table chair from the 1970s.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have a ton of padding. So this has really been nice.
Yeah. I love your chair though, cause it does have that tiny bit, but the added, I think really, really helps.
Yeah. So, okay. What's new with with Chelsea and me. First of all, Mode2U signups are ongoing. So if you want to take that class, I'm not sure when the class registration ends, but if you want a kit, I believe you have to sign up by Wednesday so that those can get shipped out before the class of this week, the 23rd. So that those can get shipped out and arrive at your home before the class starts in October. And the kits that I did for the pillow are super cute. They have Happy Days, Balboa, and Summer Sweet fabrics.
So, I like that you mixed them all.
Yeah. So thank you to Moda for getting me a little bit of Happy Days for those quilts. We have mini charm packs in them. And then Balboa is shipping soon.
Yes. We've been like awaiting it. I've been
checking every day, waiting for my ship notice, but not yet, but soon.
Yeah, it'll be shipping very soon. I know we have people who are waiting for their projects packages.
Yeah, and then Labor of Love Quilt Along begins September 30th, so that's a week from Wednesday.
That's so soon. I can't believe it's like almost the end of September.
I can't either.
It's crazy. I know I feel like I talked about this a while ago, but I have two new fall quilt patterns that will actually be releasing soon. I know I had talked about those before, but, a friend of our quilter is actually piecing one of the quilts for me and I'm working on the other one. So that's kind of what I'm working on right now since all my Happy Days quilts are done.
Yeah.
So hopefully you guys will be able to see those early October, so very soon, I think.
Yeah, that'll be fun. I've seen the digital mock-up, so I'm excited to see them in fabric.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah. Okay, so we move on to listener questions.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to read this first one.
Okay.
It says, I have a very modern home. I need ideas on how to display my quilts. I am also wondering what people do with smaller quilts. I see a lot of patterns for 54 by 54 square quilts, and I think they are cute, but have no idea what I would do with one that small. This is a great question, and I'm actually going to use my Land I Love quilt as an example. It is in about that range for the size of that 54 by 54. It's close to that. This is like the perfect size to throw over your couch, to hang on the wall. I love hanging quilts on walls. So for something smaller, like it's totally fine, I think, and looks so cute to hang on your wall, you know, or just throw over a couch, like fold it up in thirds and throw it over a couch. But I also have a very modern home, so this question was great for me. I use quilt ladders to display quilts, and I'll share a picture of an example that I have, and it's still very modern. And then I have a bookshelf and I stack quilts in this old bookshelf, and in my TV stand, actually, it has a glass case. And so you can see the quilts through it, but it's not like, I feel like that was always my fear. And growing up too, I used to joke around with my mom, like, Mom, someday I'm going to wake up and the whole house is going to be stitched together. And it's just too much. Like I thought there was just too many quilts, but you can still decorate and make it modern. And I'll have some pictures thrown up on the YouTube for you guys to see, but you know, just anything, simplify it, you know, don't get too crazy, but yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking just a couple things to add. 54 by 54 is a great size to put on a table kind of diagonally. So where it's not, you know, so it's like part of it's falling off either side. And I feel like, you know, if you put a modern quilt on a table, you're going to have a modern look. If you put a traditional quilt on a table, you're going to have a traditional look.
Yeah.
And the same thing with, I love to put quilts in baskets.
Oh, me too.
So if the basket is wire, it has a more modern feel. And so I feel like a lot of the ways that traditional and modern quilters display their quilts can be the same. And it's actually the material that changes
it up. Or the fabrics that you use.
Right.
So I definitely agree with that when you're you know, quilting different things, everything's going to give a different look.
Right.
So.
But it is fun. Chelsea's home is more modern than ours. Ours is more traditional. And she's still able to display all of her quilts and use them in a more modern setting.
Fit them in my style and everything. Right. So,
Yeah. And I like smaller quilts to hang on the wall too. Like my new row quilt is going in my laundry room. So it's a smaller room, but a smaller quilt. So.
Oh, I can't wait to see that.
Yeah. So.
I know exactly where you're going to put it too. I'm like picturing it right now. Uh-huh.
Okay. Next question. This is a great one too. I was wondering, when you make a quilt that has the same block over and over, how do you keep from getting bored? And that is a great question because both of us have patterns. I mean, this is basically the same block over and over. This is the same block and over and over. Yeah. Part of it is that you're using different fabrics. So that helps. But I also feel like I do them in pieces. So when I made this quilt, I did all the flying geese first.
Yeah.
And so
you have,
I just,
different steps.
Yeah. And I just kind of chain pieced it. And I had something on in the background to listen to that helped me not to be bored.
Yeah.
So
I feel like that's the trick, because that's kind of how my brain works, is I'll get bored super easy. And so, well, first I'm very like color oriented. So I'll like put, once I'm ready, like say, you know, you're sewing all your red star flowers or whatever, I do it by color just because like my brain is like, okay, once I get through the blues, then I know I have to just get through the reds and then the pinks, and I get so excited about it. Like, it's so weird, you guys, but
that's interesting.
Like what I do. I can't do it randomly because I know that there, the end point is coming. Not that I don't enjoy it. I still enjoy it.
Right.
But, and then also like I will watch a show or I'll listen to something. The only thing is like, I don't put headphones in anymore because my kids are all home and I still want to be able to hear them. I don't know. That's just something I like to do, but I still keep, you know, a show on or music on, and it helps definitely. Oh, so
good idea. I was thinking of something I do. One thing I really don't like to do is the sashing rows.
Oh, yes.
And so what I'll do is I'll have those ready to go, and I'll kind of sew those as leaders and enders in between blocks, so that while I'm sewing all of the stars, I'm also putting these sashing strips together with the squares, so that I don't get bored at the end just sewing sashing.
Yeah.
So that's a trick that I've started doing.
I also don't like to, you know, going off of what you just said, I don't like to stop sewing. So absolutely anything that I can sew while I'm sitting down, I'm going to sew it. So yeah, I'll sew like a bunch of different things. That way I'm doing all as much ironing at once that I can do. I don't like to constantly get up and sit back down. Right. And so right. I'll sometimes have like a bunch of stuff around me, or I'll call Ashton in and be like, hey, come grab this for me so I don't have to get up.
That's a good idea. She's Remember so great. When we made that quilt together and you did all the ironing and I just sat there and sewed. It was for our first fabric collection.
It was for Bright Sun.
It was the Shangri-La quilt with the flying geese. Yeah.
And I just, wow. I'm glad you brought this up because this was a very long time ago. We were so excited to start this journey and I hadn't started quilting yet. And so I just felt like, how can I be a part of this? And I stayed at your house
till 2 in the morning.
Yeah. And it just like brought me truly like so much joy to just be ironing what she was sewing. And then we would trade off and I would lay out the blocks and give her everything back. And to me, it was really important and kind of like a defining moment for me because I was like, wow, like this is interesting. Like maybe I would like to do this. And you know, not very long after I was starting to quilt. So, wow, that was a long time ago.
That was quite a while ago.
But that was fun. Very exciting times. Yeah. Very exciting.
Okay.
So, if you have a square quilt but prefer to make it into a rectangular shape, how would you / could you add two ends other than repeating blocks to make another row?
So I
Yeah, because I was going to say you'd have to get enough blocks to make
right.
another row, essentially.
It depends on how much bigger you need it to be. Yeah. I feel like if you need it a lot bigger, you might have to make more blocks.
Yeah.
But if you just need it a little bit bigger or you're trying to fit it onto a bed,
yeah.
then borders are the way to go.
Yeah.
And what I've seen done, and this is actually in a lot of antique quilts that I've seen, is the top and bottom borders are a different size than the side borders to make it fit a bed.
Oh.
And so you can do that with a more modern quilt too. So yeah. if you need it longer, more rectangular, make the top and bottom borders wider
yeah.
so that you can add that length, and then make the side borders a little bit smaller so that you're not increasing the width as much.
Yeah, that's what I was going to kind of say, because depending on how much bigger you would need, like you would have right. to add more blocks. But yeah, borders would definitely, especially like if you needed it to be longer to go to fit on a twin bed is right. what I was thinking.
Right.
Yeah, you might need to add blocks just on the very bottom, but no, borders will totally do it. I mean, they give right. you several inches more, you know, for your quilt. So, yeah.
And experiment with using larger borders.
Yeah.
You could put the same amount and make the side borders narrower than the top and bottom too.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting.
Yeah. Good question. The next one is, I struggle reading quilting patterns. My brain just doesn't comprehend them. I'm a visual learner. Unless I have a tutorial to watch with it, what do you recommend I can do to help me stop wasting fabric, making endless mistakes? And I think you are in luck, because there are so many online videos, tutorials yeah. that you can watch today that weren't available even 5 or 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So, number one suggestion is take a class in person if you can.
Yes.
And then
that's a great suggestion.
So
I didn't even think, that's not even what I was thinking. That's really smart. Yeah. But along with that, tutorials, I mean, that's basically right. getting one-on-one instruction
right.
from someone who's doing the tutorial.
Right. Yeah. And that, it was really fun for me. Just when I was filming the videos for the Martingale
yeah.
class, I really did kind of think, what would I say and what would I show in this video class if someone was sitting right here? What are the tips I would give a live class?
Yeah.
And
because it's very different yeah. when you're, I really loved this question because I related to it. You know, I started quilting, you know, later, and not very long ago, you know, almost 5 years ago, 4 years ago. And that was me at the beginning. I'm very visual. I love to look at pictures. It just took me time too. Like, and also I was kind of thrown a curveball, when I made a quilt from a different designer, and everyone writes their patterns differently. And so I was like, whoa, this isn't like how another designer would essentially, you know, how they would explain how, which right. neither is wrong. They're both, you know,
right.
Right. So it was kind of like just learning, you know, and then once I got the methods for different, you know, quilt techniques, then you pick it up a little bit better. But
right.
Yeah, I think tutorials and classes is a good way to go.
Yeah. And I just had one more thought about this. This comes from my sewing days when I used to sew for other people, but I would always make a test block
yeah.
with some other fabric other than the fabric they had given me. Because I was afraid if I wasted their fabric and then didn't have enough to finish yeah. their quilt, if I made a mistake. So I have all of these test blocks. And looking back, the one thing I wish I would have done is make all of my test blocks from, say, Christmas fabric.
Yeah.
So that then you can put all your test blocks together
into a quilt.
A scrappy quilt.
Yeah. So, that would have been really cool.
But yeah, making a test block is another great way so that, you know, if you're worried that you're not comprehending the instructions right,
yeah.
you can just then, play around with it before you use your good fabric.
Yeah. Then what's good about that is you know the method and your brain is like, okay, I know how to put this block together now.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Great question.
Okay. What quilting software are you using to design your quilts, and what are your steps to begin designing an original quilt? I think ours is the same. We both design in EQ.
Right.
I know a lot of people design in Illustrator and Photoshop, But for me, essentially EQ, I really like the program. I think there's obviously way more I could even learn about that. I mean, there are so many amazing things you can do in EQ, but once you get started on it, I feel like it's fairly easy to learn.
Right.
But I would just say what I used to do to start out designing a quilt is, and I still do this, get graph paper out, start, you know, just drawing and, you know, start just coming. It doesn't even have to be like, I feel like it's very daunting when you're like, I'm going to draw a quilt block, just draw and doodle and, you know, triangles and squares and rectangles. And you'll, you know, that's just the beginning of it. That's just the start. So,
yeah, I have always used graph paper first. And in fact, my early quilts were all designed completely on graph paper.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And Then I won the EQ software in a giveaway on a blog.
Did?
Yes, back in my early days of blogging. And that was it. I just kept going.
I didn't know that.
Yes. My first set, I didn't have to. But then I've just kept upgrading it and upgrading it. We have the most recent version.
Yeah.
The other thing I would say is the EQ. If you do use EQ, they have a blog with tutorials.
Yes.
Which is really good to follow.
Yeah.
And I believe they also offer in-person classes.
Yeah.
And training. I know there are more things that I could still learn with the software too.
Same here.
Yeah.
That is so funny because I was just talking to someone the other day, though, about how I never win anything.
Oh, that's funny.
Like, you know how there's like all these giveaways and all this stuff. And I was just kind of laughing about how I'm like, you put in for a giveaway and it's like, it's going to be me. And like just hearing that you actually won a giveaway, I'm like, oh my goodness, like that's crazy.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. So yeah, we both use EQ8 and graph paper, kind of a combination. I still actually pull out the graph paper
once in
a while too, just to get something down before I forget it.
Yeah.
So
have you ever like woken up in like the middle of the night and been like, quilt pattern, I have to draw this.
Post-it note next to the bed, write down kind of in my head what I think the block needs to do. And
so mom taught me that like when I was younger, sometimes I couldn't sleep or like I would be thinking about something. And she was like, you should just write it down, like just write it down and then go back to sleep. And I still do that. Like I'll type something up, I'll write something down. It's so crazy. But that's like something I've done since I was like 10 years old. So thanks, mom.
It helps.
Yeah, it does help to get thoughts and ideas out of your head.
I think so. Okay. In your last podcast, you mentioned leaders and enders. I'm wondering if you can talk a little more about those. And I think she's saying, are they the same as those little scraps of fabric people use over and over again at the start and end of a seam? I think there's another name for those, but I'm drawing a blank. And so what I think you have it right. They are what a leader and ender is a project, yes, that you use when you begin and when you end sewing so that you don't have to constantly snip the threads.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be the same fabric being used over and over. What you can do is actually sew fabrics together at the beginning and end of a seam so that you're working on another project at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
So you could, for example, have a stack of 2.5-inch squares next to your sewing machine. And at the beginning and the end, you could sew two of those squares together. Well, then when you get them all sewn, you could press them and then put them back next to your sewing machine and you could then start making 4 patches at the beginning and ending of your seam. So you save a lot of thread. It also prevents sometimes, you know, when you start sewing and the needle catches wrong. I think that's more when you have a dull needle.
Yeah.
But it prevents that from happening because you're always stopping and starting on something else that isn't your main project.
Yes. Yeah.
So, and I do that all the time. I've been doing, you know, 4 patches. I've been using the honey bun blocks that are going around right now with the internet. I've been sewing strips, sometimes also strips together for those beginning and leader and ender. So
and then it's like something you always have ready to go. And
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm looking for a good scrappy pattern/patterns using half square triangles. Do you have a favorite? And I actually have one that's my pattern of the month. this month. It's called North Shore, and it's a lot of half square triangles. So I'll show that in the show notes. And so, yeah, it's one of my favorite half square triangle quilts.
Yeah, I have quite a few. My Starlight pattern with our Summer Suite fabrics uses a lot of half square triangles.
Yeah.
So that's one that I would recommend. And then also Timeless that came out with our Balboa quilt uses. And then also in 2019, my block of the month program for the whole year was a half square triangle quilt. And so I always put those block of the month patterns up free for the whole year. And then at the end of the year, when I start the new block of the month, I put the old one in my Etsy shop. So I have an entire sampler quilt with 25 different blocks, I think, that are all half square triangle blocks. Yeah.
I like how you were like 2019, like it was like 6 years ago. I know.
Isn't that the truth?
That's how it feels. I'm like, wow, yeah. 2019.
So
it was like so long ago. Like
the time is strange, right?
It is strange. So. What batting do you use for all of your quilts? We use the same.
Right.
Warm and what is
white.
It?
Warm and white.
Warm and white.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've always used the same. And I really love it.
Yeah.
I have never like felt the need to switch. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. I have just a comment about that. For a while, I didn't have any place to store it when we were in the rental before, in between our houses. And
yeah.
So I didn't have any for a while, and I just recently bought an entire roll, 40 yards of the 90 inch wide, and it feels so good to have it again.
Which she called and told me all about.
Yes. But this is the thing. You can look for really good deals if you do have a place to store an entire roll, or even if you're buying the packages. The way I got this one was off Joann's.
Yeah.
And I waited till they had a 40% off sale, which thankfully my friend Marion told me they were having. And she also told me, you know, sometimes they give you a coupon as well, and you can use the coupon along with the sale price. And so that's what I did. And I actually got this whole roll.
Super good deal.
Yes, cheaper than wholesale. I checked wholesale and I paid $60 less than wholesale that way.
She called me and she was like, this is a big deal. I got to tell you about this deal I got on my batting.
So, yeah. And I feel like you could have done, I mean, they sell packaged batting too. And so that was a great deal. And then also, I'm sure most local quilt shops sell batting and they will let you use coupons or their in-store sales for batting occasionally too.
Yep.
So, yeah. Okay, how do you store quilts? Flat, folded, or rolled?
Okay, so I roll my new, like my new Happy Days quilts. I've been keeping these rolled for the most part because I know I'm going to be like taking pictures of them and just for like social media and stuff. But I honestly just fold mine. I keep them all in a closet folded, and I actually just switch them all out. Like, see, I decorated for fall, you guys. I did it. I took the plunge. So I switched everything out, and I did it by season.
Okay.
So.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, and then I keep them all. And I think you kind of do the same thing. Like, I think you just recently, maybe you did.
Yeah.
We talked about it in a previous
podcast. I've started it. I've got.
Yeah. But somebody had the best idea. I can't remember if I saw on social media or if you told me. They took pool noodles.
I've seen that.
And they rolled the quilts around the pool noodles as a guide. And then you don't get creases. Like, there's a crease in my row quilt right here, which I thought was super interesting. But just for me, like, I fold them and keep them in cabinets and closets, and that's how I like them. Because by the time I lay them on a bed, that crease is going to go away very quickly. So,
yeah, I feel like with the newer quilts, I used to always keep them flat on a bed in the guest room until we went to Quilt Market so that there were no creases in that quilt. And then, you know, you pack it up in the suitcase, you take it to Quilt Market, and you
lay it
to
the hotel
bed, and you lay it out. And, but now since we haven't been traveling, I've been folding more. I do try to, you know, I hang different quilts. I have a couple of these rods throughout the house, and I switch them out. So I feel like a quilt that maybe is folded for 8 months out of the year, then it gets its 4 months where it's hanging so the wrinkles can fall out.
Yeah.
I do like to roll things as much as possible. And also the bigger the shelf, I'll fold the quilt so it takes up the full size of the shelf instead of having two stacks, one stack where they're folded so they have fewer creases.
Then you have a little pyramid of stacked rolled quilts.
Yes. So, and then also, you know, if you display them in a basket or on a shelf.
Yeah, I roll them and put them
in the basket. Yeah. So I guess we do actually all three.
We do all three flat, options.
Folded and rolled. And I have seen also people fold them differently so that instead of just folding on the vertical and the horizontal, I've seen people make a diagonal fold.
Oh.
And I've heard that perhaps that since you're folding that way, that you're not putting as much pressure on the fibers. So there are all sorts of ways.
That's very intense.
To store.
But, I don't think that much about it, but yeah, so, that's interesting.
Yeah. But I usually just try to, and I did start an inventory. I've gone through one closet and I actually made a list of which quilts were on which shelf so that I could find things.
That is so smart.
Quickly. I have two more closets to inventory and then I'll be done. I don't know. You know, people ask us all the time.
Inventory queen.
Well, what do you do with all those quilts? And in the past I was traveling with all these quilts a lot.
For trunk shows.
Yeah. And, you know, I couldn't get rid of some quilts because I needed them for the lecture or the trunk show. But now they are kind of not being used as much and not being unfolded as much. So hopefully we'll get back to
One of my very good friends actually just asked me that. She's not a quilt. Well, actually she does quilt.
Uh-huh.
She sews. But she was like, what do you do with them all? I just imagine your house overflowing with quilts. And I'm like, yeah, it kind of is overflowing with quilts, but I love them. So they just, you know, get rotated out and so it was really funny.
Yeah. I did get rid of quite a few when we moved.
Some of the guys
that were helping us, I said, take a quilt for your wife or for your daughter or your son, for you. And
was so nice.
Well, I just took a whole stack of things and they were quilts that I didn't use in my lectures.
I think I took some too.
I think, yeah.
Pretty sure I did. So,
I have kids and grandkids to give them to too.
Actually, Ashton, my oldest, we were decorating the house for fall and I put my quilt that's on in American Patchwork and Quilting on the ladder.
Uh-huh.
And she goes, oh, Mom, you need to give me a fall quilt. And I said, but that's what I'm working on right now, as I'm trying to finish up seasonal quilts. And she was like, I'll just ask Grandma. I know she has some. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Cute. So yeah, she knows where to find them, Mom. She knows where to find them.
And having too many quilts is really why I started my blog in the first place, because I really was giving a lot of them away back then, and baby quilts and quilts to family and friends. And so that was the reason I started the blog. I thought, I need to keep track of all these things that I'm giving away.
Yeah.
And so I started the blog just to keep track.
To document it.
To document it before I gave them away.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Do you have a tip of the day today?
I kind of don't. Do you? I guess I should have thought about that.
I know. I feel like lately a lot of our tips have been within the questions.
Right.
And so,
I'll watch out for that for next time.
Yeah. Next time I promise we'll be better, you guys.
Yeah. I do have a review from Apple Podcasts and from Blue Yes. Thank you so much for the reviews. There were actually quite a few new ones again. And this one says, I have come to look forward to the Monday mornings that include a fresh podcast from A Quilting Life. It feels like I'm enjoying a get together with a couple of quilting girlfriends. Sherry and Chelsea share fabrics, quilts, notions, ideas, and whatever else great information comes up in their conversations. I would highly recommend this enjoyable podcast. You are doing an amazing job, ladies.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
That's how I hope it feels like for everyone, is that they're, you know, enjoying some time with us around the table.
Right.
So thank you so much for that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
And it really is fun. I think we really do look forward to each other's answers because I compile the questions usually just the night before and I send Chelsea a copy and I have a copy. And so we're both thinking about them, but we don't ever discuss what we're going to talk about.
Yeah. We never have like a meeting where it's like scripted or we just like meet up and it's, I feel like it's, and I hope it comes, you know, off very naturally, but we just, you know, we've, it's a great vibe that we kind of have, I feel like. And so I enjoy her company.
So, so it's always good. So, and sometimes I do, I look at the questions, I think, oh, I can't wait to hear what Chelsea will say about this.
So, yeah. Same here. So our next podcast will be Monday, October 5th.
October 5th.
And so we'll see you then. And thank you so much for stopping by, whether you're listening in on your favorite subscriber or if you're watching us on YouTube. We're just so grateful that you're here. And so thank you so much.
Thanks so much.